Good morning. It's a beautiful Saturday morning here in North Central Indiana. As I spend time with God this morning, continuing in the devotional journal, Living Free, and it's a 31-day devotional journal, reigning with freedom when surrounded by enemies, and comes out of the idea of verse out of James that talks about gazing into the perfect law which gives freedom. And using God's word to understand the freedom we have in Christ and how to use that freedom as we gaze into to God's laws, His words. This morning's topic is living free to serve God. I write in the devotional, it says, many times I hear Christians talk about wishing they had the freedom to do specific tasks for God that sound big and noble. You see, we don't seem to mind the idea of serving God if we can do so in a manner that gets people's attention. And yet God wants us to be free to serve Him regardless of where we are or how small the task may be. And as we go through this Saturday devotion and encouragement and prayer time, I want us to consider what it looks like to be free to serve God. To know that God's presence is with us. To know that He has not only equipped us, but He desires us to serve Him. You see, life, get rid of the glasses, they have a little glare, it looks like, but to know that life has purpose. It's so easy to look at others, and as I wrote in the devotional, to see things that we like to classify as serving God. Well, those people do such and such, and they're such great servants of God. Oh, I don't know why God doesn't allow me to do those things or gift me in a way that I can do those things. And it's so easy to get caught up into that hamster wheel, if you would, of this constant running, of not being able to do things because we're looking at something we've not been equipped to do. Rather than examining what God has put into our life and say, God, how can I serve you with what you've given me? You see, that's kind of the fun part of serving God. He doesn't expect you to serve Him according to my ability. And the good part for me is He doesn't expect me to serve Him according to your ability. He's equipped each of us uniquely. Yes, there's overlap or there's things that we have in common. But as Paul wrote, he says, if we were all an eye, how could we pick anything up? If we were all an ear, how could we smell the beauty of a fresh rain, beautiful rose? You see, we're supposed to be unique. We're supposed to be gifted in different ways. We're supposed to serve in different ways. And gazing into the perfect law which gives freedom, gazing into God's word ought to instruct us in not only the value of serving, but the importance of serving. We serve God when we do what He says. We think about those that we would classify as servants or servers. We go to a restaurant and a server will come and take our order. Now, what would happen if that server took our order, and we ordered off of the menu, and they brought us something that was, well, their favorite. It's not what we ordered. It's not what we asked for. It's not anything we even like, but, well, I like it, so I thought I'd bring it to you. We would say, well, that server did not do their job. They were here to serve me. That was their job. That was their role in this setting. And we would think they had failed. You see, the main responsibility of a servant, of one who serves, is to do the will of the one they're serving. Jesus would tell stories throughout the New Testament of a master that would have servants that, well, didn't do what they were supposed to do. And he would contrast them with those that did. And those servants that were lazy, who were unfaithful, who were unproductive, were cast out from the master's presence. And he uses these terms. He says, cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I don't know about you. I'm not quite sure I can picture that. My daughter has seizures on a fairly regular basis. And sometimes coming out of those seizures, she'll just grind her teeth together. And that sound and just it just runs shivers up my spine. And to try to convince her not to do that when she's not really accepting input, processing it, is difficult to do. But that irritation to those that hear it, to those that observe it, is, it's not good. And imagine a place where there's weeping and gnashing, I like to use the term grinding because I'm familiar with that, of teeth, that always on edge. And that's part of gazing into this perfect law. Because we can look at it and say, I have the freedom to do what I want. Well, in a sense, that's true. But God says there's consequences for doing what you want. Yes, you can. But that doesn't mean that you'll like the results. But it also means you have freedom to serve. You can choose to want to serve. Want to serve God. Staying a little bit focused on this, because looking ahead, tomorrow's topic is free to serve others. And we'll get into that a little more tomorrow, because these two are so closely related. How do I serve God? Well, I offer him my life. I do what he says. One of my favorite stories growing up, and I had a lot of them, and if you listen to many teachers and preachers of the Bible, you'll probably hear that. This is my favorite text. And the next week, the next lesson, the next sermon, oh, this is my favorite text. Our favorite one seems to be whichever one we're reading at the moment. And but probably because I identified so well with what I call the second son in the story. Jesus told a story of a father who had two sons and asked them to go out and field and work. And growing up on a farm, all of this language of the New Testament of working the fields and harvest and things, I could identify with. And the older son, the one son says, well, sure, Dad, I'll go. I'll do what you say. And the younger son says, I've got better plans. I don't want to get my hands dirty. That's not going to happen. And after they left their father's presence, the older son who said, yes, I'll go do it, found better things to do. He didn't do what his father had asked. He kind of blew it off and says, not my problem. The younger son, the second son, began to think. Again, I think that's why I'd like to identify with him, because even after making a response, he's still thinking it through. And he came to his senses and or at least thought it through more rationally than his first response was, and says, you know, I really ought to do what Dad said. I really ought to do what he asked. And so he went out and did the work that had been asked of him. And Jesus asked the obvious question, or at least the answer should have been obvious, which of the two sons did what his father wanted? And they said, well, the second one, the guy that went and actually did it, not the one that said he would. And Jesus says, right. Those who do the will of my Father are the ones who are the children of God, not the ones who say they're going to do the will of the Father. And living life free to serve God says, God's the master. I learned by gazing into his perfect law. I learned by gazing into his word. I learned by spending time in prayer, listening to his word, his spirit that he put within me. But I don't learn just to accumulate information about what God wants. I learn so that I am free to do. And when I learn that God wants me to treat people fairly, when God wants me to have compassion, to have mercy, to forgive, serving God is doing those things. Today, as we spend some time praying, I would encourage you to examine how you're using the freedom that you have. Is it primarily for self? That is our default, it seems. We don't like to admit that very often, but when we're set free, self tends to jump in front of the line. Or do we use that freedom to serve God? To do the things that he has said we ought to do? To bring him his meal instead of ours? To make sure he's known instead of us? To do even the things we consider small and insignificant, because God has called us to and has equipped us for that. You see, much can be accomplished when every person that claims God as their Father, as their Savior, as their Lord, would live with the freedom to serve him fully and faithfully. Would you spend some time this morning praying with me? Father, thank you so much that you are a God that has set us free. Even knowing when you did that we could use that freedom and often do use that freedom for selfish gain, to please ourselves, rather than using that freedom to serve you. Father, for those times that we long to do something that we feel would be significant for you, May we recognize there is nothing more significant than obedience. To examine and to know how you've gifted us, how you've prepared us, that we would accomplish and be obedient in doing the part that you've created us to be. Father, today I pray that our life would be more in tune to what you want than what we want. That our responses to people would be more in line with what you would say rather than what we want to say. That our praise and worship of you as we prepare to gather again this weekend, and whether we're able to do that in person or online, and may it equip and fuel us for a greater life of service. Father, as we work at whatever we do, as your word tells us, may we do it, may we work at it with all of our heart, with all of our being, as working or serving you rather than man. May we apply that to our day-to-day life, our day-to-day work, our day-to-day activity. May we see it all as serving you, because we keep you in the center of it and the focus of why we do what we do. And Father, as we examine our life, as your Spirit helps us to see our actions more clearly, if there are things that we do that are in opposition to service of you, may we repent of those. May we set those aside so that our life is fully centered around serving you. And may we find and realize the ways that you want us to serve you in our workplace, in our schools, and in our recreation areas, in our homes. Father, as I pray throughout this crisis of uncertainty and changing times, I continue to pray for the children in our homes, in our community. I pray that our example in serving you will help them to grow up to be great servants of God. That the value we put on doing the things that you say, that the time we spend gazing into your word so that we know how we ought to live would be taught to our children. And not just taught with our words, but taught with our actions. May we raise up a generation that knows how to serve. A generation that doesn't mind using however God has gifted them. That sees as much value as in the little things as they do in the big things. And Father, it's probably not even fair to call them little and big, but to see as much value in the unnoticed service as there is in the noticed service. Father, I continue to pray that this virus would be gone from the face of the earth. I pray that we continue to learn the lessons that you've put out there for us to see through it. I pray that our reaction to others would be based out of love. That even as we work our way through this worldwide crisis, that we would understand that we're each on a path that is heading the same direction, but our steps are often unique. And for those of us that are on that same direction path that leads to you, may we help and encourage one another rather than to mock and put one another down. Father, today may our life be such that we lift up Jesus in all things, that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Saturday morning devotion, encouragement, and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member at the Deer Run Church of Christ, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. As I was looking this morning, I realized that today, if I counted right, begins month 5 of these daily devotions. When I began these back in mid-March, I really did not think that they would go more than a few weeks and things would kind of resume back to usual and I would get back into a, quote, usual routine. But here we are. And if you're listening, watching this from the South Bend, Indiana area, I would invite you to join me and others for an outdoor gathering of prayer this Sunday evening, tomorrow evening, at 6:30 p.m. at the Deer Run Church of Christ property at 2730 South Ironwood Drive here in South Bend. It will be a time of prayer, not a time of listening to others pray, not a time of hearing about prayer, but primarily a time to pray. And I'll open it in prayer, and about every 5 minutes I'll give a topic related to the church or the community, and just ask that everyone pray wherever they're at. And you can pray from your vehicles. It'll be an outside event that you can drive into. You can bring lawn chairs or blankets, and there'll be an area that you can sit in socially distanced groups with those that you came with, and to pray from there. But to join me and others as we pray for our church, and not a specific church, but for the church and for the community, wherever you live. And again, that's tomorrow evening at 6:30 p.m. at the Deer Run Church of Christ property. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.